This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Rupee emerging as a globally accepted currency. The participants are Professor Sachin Chaturvedi, DG, Research and Information System for Developing Countries, and Arjun Chaudhary, Anchor.
So I'm joined by Professor Sachin Chaturvedi ji, who is an eminent economist and is serving as Director General at RIS, which is the Research and Information System for Developing Countries. And today we will be discussing on the rupee, which is now emerging as a globally accepted currency. So we'll try and understand the Indian rupee and as a medium of exchange, as a circulating currency, not just in India, but overseas as well, legal tender to purchase, and more importantly, its negotiability across all nations. That is a challenge right now. Typically, a currency is always faced with negative externalities, and we'll try and understand what is it about the Indian rupee right now that makes it as an emerging trend. Professor Chaturvedi ji, can you tell us the reasons behind the emerging trend of the Indian rupee? What are the fundamentals there?
There are four reasons which I see are very in terms of expansion of Indian rupee and its acceptability across countries and across diverse countries, more so in the realm of Global South. But you also find countries which are in the periphery of Global South, like for instance Singapore, or even now some of the OECD countries like United Kingdom, where you also see growing acceptance of Indian rupee. So the factors that are there in this geographic zone, that are there both in terms of expanding share of India's international trade. So a decade ago, India's share in the global trade was around 0.8%. In the beginning of the century was only 0.5%, but now you see that it is already 1.8%, and we are expecting by 2025-26 it to be 2.5% in the global share. So this rising share in global trade is the first and foremost reason in terms of why countries are more inclined in terms of bringing in these kind of conversion arrangements. Second is the faith in the good governance system that Indian financial sector has come up with, and the credit, I think, goes to the Reserve Bank of India for managing the currency so well in terms of allowing the market forces to work and do not manage the system whereby market forces determine the value. So our exchange rate is not officially managed as we see in a couple of other countries. The third important dimension is the creditworthiness of our initiatives, both in terms of our support to the instruments that are important for local currency settlement framework, but also in terms of strengthening financial market and boosting the mechanisms for 24/5 INR conversion. So you now see that more and more digital transactions are possible around the clock for all the working days. So 24/5, all these operations are available. And last but not the least, I think, which is extremely important, is continuous commitment of India for capital account convertibility. As RBI Governor Shaktikant Das has said, it is not an event, it is a continuous process. So I see that there is consistent effort by India to move in that direction. And undermining prescriptions from IMF and World Bank on this and bringing in endogeneity in our decision-making process. So these are the five reasons, Arjunji, that I feel are important in terms of marking this rise that we see in acceptability of rupee as a currency for transaction.
So before we go into the question of valuation of the currency itself, because earlier there used to be the concept of the gold standard before 1978. And now, of course, you look at the current account deficit. What are the trading patterns of the nation concerned? What is the RBI IDG group all about, the interdepartmental group, which is responsible for ensuring that the currency is acceptable overseas as well?
If you see the IDG report, which has come up with several suggestions in terms of how INR should be managed and in what way this should be managed, and starting with Tarapur Committee report, where they talked about the fuller capital account convertibility back in 2006, the IDG group, the interdepartmental group as it is called, it captures the essence in terms of designing a sort of template and adopting standards that are important for examining various bilateral, multilateral proposals that are there for INR and local currency settlement. So that was the first sort of objective that they focused on. And the second one was more in terms of enabling INR as additional settlement currency. so as to facilitate the local currency settlement framework. And finally, to see what kind of digital infrastructure we require for continuous availability of market instruments for this conversion. So with these three broad sort of contours, IDG gave several recommendations and several measures they suggested to deepen India's internationalization effort for Indian rupee.
Professor Chaturvedi, typically a sovereign power is able to issue currency through its central bank like the RBI, and it is floated in that territory as legal tender, that is by the force of law itself. But how does a currency achieve valuation the way the Indian rupee has been able to achieve, not just in India, but overseas as well, when we look at the exchange rate?
That's a very good question, Arjunji. There are two very important factors which we should keep in mind when valuation issue comes in. First and foremost, of course, the central banks have the power to print currency, but it depends in terms of both the creditworthiness that is associated with the decision-making process, for which enough foreign exchange reserve, enough gold reserves are required for the guarantee that the central bank governor gives to be fulfilled. So that ability comes in with the expansion of economy. India is at a phase way economy has taken off, our continuous rise of 7% and above in GDP, our continuous expansion of production and services, our internationalization, monetary reforms, and several policy measures that have come in, they all contribute to the valuation. The second component is the geopolitics, where you find continuous trade, investment, financial sector transactions all converging in one place. So that gives you a remit within which currency valuation and people who are into GSEC market and in other bond assets markets, treasury bills, securities, those who transact in these instruments, they also should feel assured. India's current policy regime has given that assurance. So you find this acceptability within the kind of geopolitics that I'm talking about. So these two factors are important for rupee's valuation. And fortunately, if you see in the IDG report itself, they talk about several countries, but also there is in the annexure one table which talks about in last 10 years how much Indian rupee has fluctuated vis-a-vis other currencies. And you find that we are in far more important band within fluctuation than many other currencies at the global level. So this again shows faith of these global market operators in Indian rupee.
So when you talk about the basket of currencies, the only currency that comes to mind which has outperformed is the US dollar. And apart from that, we have fared very well against all other currencies relatively. If you look at the yen right now, it is weakening against the US dollar. When you also bring into geopolitics, what is the tendency of nations right now who are trying to lower the dependence on SWIFT, where transactions are in US dollars, and they're looking for alternative currencies to carry out trade and commerce?
If you see even our neighboring countries like Bangladesh, after Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina took over, she said that we would be committed in terms of boosting rupee-taka trade and we would help us ensure reduction in transaction costs. This is a very important statement. Sri Lanka has come forward for rupee-based currency swap arrangements, which are there for some time, but now more local currency trade settlements. Nepal and Bhutan already recognize Indian rupee as a legal tender, both Nepal Rashtra Bank, Royal Monetary Authority of Bhutan, and also now Bank Negara of Malaysia. They also support this through their treasury bills. In case of Singapore, even Indian equity and bond assets are being transacted through their sovereign wealth funds. So, Arjunji, you find all these different dimensions of engagement with our currency that gives the necessary support that we need at the globalization effort that is needed. So that internationalization vis-a-vis dollar, of course, as you in the beginning asked, currency is linked with the geopolitics and the sort of efforts that economies make in terms of global transaction efforts. In fact, with the petrodollar, which we now saw just in last 1 year, the decline in the dollar transactions for all the petroleum-related products, you find growing global concerns about de-dollarization and particular affinity of some countries to oppose that. This also is dependent in terms of rise of progress with the ICT, information communication technology, where alternatives to SWIFT are coming in. As we are seeing, Reserve Bank of India is trying to create that alternative to our own RTGS and in a way internationalizing RTGS. So those options are now available through technology, through specific policy-focused issuance of specific initiatives, like, for instance, rupee-dominated masala bonds that we came up with, or even allowing our domestic banks to freely offer foreign exchange prices that are there, allowing rupee derivatives with settlement in foreign currency. So these are all options coming in under International Financial Services Center. So you find more and more of this rising and providing support to our this effort.
Professor Chaturvedi, could you tell us about the march towards a digital rupee? Because the cryptocurrency has favored a lot of discussion in terms of adaptability of a central bank issued currencies versus a cryptocurrency. How has the Indian rupee actually adjusted to this situation through the digital rupee?
Yes, that's a very important facet of digitalization in our financial sector. As you know, in the budget, finance minister already announced this year, she reported back to parliament in terms of the pilots that were launched between business to business and bank to bank digital transaction, now having expanding the ambit, and more banks and more industrial enterprises have joined this effort. So Indian CBDC is now on an expansionary phase. Our idea is that in 25-26, as finance minister announced in her budget, this would be made available on a much larger scale. So we are among some of the first few countries who have tried to bring in, but being a country with full faith in multilateralism, India has already raised with the Bank for International Settlement, BIS, to define global norms. During G20 presidency of India, we came out with specific papers and suggestions for G20 to take a lead in terms of what global norms should govern this sector. There was discussion on cryptocurrency and many other dimensions, but our idea remained focused exclusively on CBDC, on digital currency. So we hope that with global norms, it would be easier for us to manage India's own digital currency for cross-border transactions and payment settlements.
Professor Chaturvedi, is this a challenge towards the black economy, which traditional currencies tend to promote, as opposed to digital currencies where your blockchain technology, it's also legal tender, along with its negotiability and tracks who owns that currency and what it's being used for in the financial transaction? Is that the major challenge, the black economy?
It would certainly emerge as a major challenge in the current sort of physical currency that we have right now. It's always the challenge of hoarding and our inability to track that. Though with demonetization, a major exercise was undertaken and it has been successful to a great extent. As today you might have noticed, 97% of the 2000 notes, they have come back to the Reserve Bank. We are now realizing that with blockchain and with artificial intelligence, we would be able to create better instruments for tracking the currency movements that would happen in the digital domain. And that probably would also help us insulate the system from these downsides of our financial sector. So that probably would be extremely important. New proposed measures in terms of tracking black money or some of the abilities that have got further strengthened through other monetary instruments also would have to be integrated. So I think digitalization and greater convergence of various instruments for transactions would all have to come under this mechanism. And that part, I think, at the global level would be equally important, because India can do only up to some extent. During our G20 presidency, we have initiated some process, but I hope Brazil and South Africa would take them further. Both Brazil and South Africa are also challenged in terms of illicit financial flows, which their region and countries particularly face. So from that point of view, I think it would be important for us to see how globally agreed dimensions of global governance on tracking this through new technological options that have would emerge.
Thank you so much, Professor Sachin Chaturvedi ji, for giving us such an extensive understanding of the rupee, which is emerging as a globally accepted currency. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Arjun ji.
You were listening to a discussion on rupee emerging as a globally accepted currency. The participants were Professor Sachin Chaturvedi, DG, Research and Information System for Developing Countries, and Arjun Chaudhary, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnstalks@gmail.com.